Breaking news today on Jay Sekulow Live. The ACLJ preparing to take its first action on these education and school issues that are plaguing parents across the country who have contacted us at aclj.org/help. Now, we get into the next step. We're taking action. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are going to be taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. As you heard in the tease, you know, we've been contacted now by over 1,400 individual families, and that number grows every single day, from 46 states plus the District of Columbia, who are facing significant hardships and various different hardships. But we've got those out. I think about 1,000 of those now have been assigned to ACLJ attorneys. The remaining cases that are contacts that have come in, we are just sent out a request to get some more information so we know how we could potentially help them, because there wasn't enough info in their initial information they put in on aclj.org/help, because we're, you know, as we sort through this. But one that rose to our attention, Dad, immediately was this situation out of Arizona in a school districts in Maricopa County, and that specifically the action will be taking today. And for some of you, when you're hearing this show, the action will have already been taken, is in the Gilbert Public Schools. So the governor there has closed schools at least through August 14th, maybe August 15th. So they're closed, but they are going to do virtual learning. And if you pay in Gilbert's public schools for elementary school students, K through 8th, and it's happening in 9 different campuses in Gilbert public school system, if you pay $165 a week, Dad, you get to send your kid to school, they get to be with their friends, and of course you get to be on your normal schedule. And Gilbert's not making an exception and saying, hey, this is because it's a longer program, and saying, so if you need the early morning program and the evening program, well, that's something parents always paid for out of pocket. It wasn't free. That was right. Not the normal state constitution guarantee of an education. But what about those students whose parents are just looking for their kids to be in that classroom environment, be on their normal schedule, you know, whether it's 8:30 to 2:30 there, something like that, and why are they having to pay the same amount of money as those who might need extended time? And our clients have said if they need that extended time, they're happy to pay the same fees they were paying the year before for whether it's the early morning and evening or both.
Well, here's the ridiculous nature of this. You're paying taxpayer dollars for the schools to operate, which means you drop your child off. They have teachers. They have physical education, art, and music. The school facilities are open. You sometimes pay for the lunch program, and that's paid for by your taxpayer dollars. Now the school district decides, and again, we're not questioning their decision on whether they can open or not. They decide now we're not going to open, but what we're going to do instead is, actually, we are going to open, but instead of having teachers, so we're not even spending that money, we're going to do this. We're going to charge you to bring your child to the school that he's assigned to that we can't open for school, but we're opening it basically for daycare, which begs the question, then why can't you open it for school? So again, when parents are faced with these dilemmas, they need help. And the help they need is something that we can do and are doing firsthand at the American Center for Law and Justice. And we are taking an initiative today to the school board. It goes, Jordan, today.
It goes today. And of course, we will see the school board's response. We may have to appear before the school board. We also then always reserve the right for litigation. That's in the letter as well. I mean, so if the school board is not cooperating and doesn't see the absurdity here, even in some of these schools out of these 9 are going to virtually bring in the teachers and still charge the students extra to go. I mean, this is absurd, folks. And we're doing this. We can represent these families because you support the ACLJ. It's the final day of our matching challenge. Donate right now at aclj.org. Double the impact your donation, aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
About it. We are taking action. First action, we've had over 1,400 individual parents contact us just since I was first on. Will, you can pull that date. I was first on with Steve Hilton on Fox News, and we gave out the aclj.org/help, which has always exists. It's how we get a lot of our cases. As people go there, they fill out their information, they get contacted by an ACLJ attorney. We figure out if we can help them, if it's a legal matter or some other kind of administrative matter that we can assist them with or point them in the right direction. If we're not the right group, we'll do that as well. But when we do accept them as clients and they agree to be clients, we do it at no cost because of your financial support of the ACLJ. And if you're just joining us, I just want to remind you, out of those 1,400 contacts that have come in, you know, we've done a lot of work with them, researching each of these state laws, local laws, how the federal laws come into play, where to start on these different issues, because these are a host of hardships these parents are facing. And the first one we're taking action on, and we'll be talking to Ben Sisney, who's one of the lead attorneys on this case in Arizona, in the next half hour of the broadcast, is in Arizona. And it's that ridiculous situation where Arizona schools are at least not able to open, the governor has said, public schools until mid-August. But the Gilbert Public School System, which is in Maricopa County and operates 9 elementary campuses, is going to open their schools, but it's going to be called GPS, so Gilbert Public Schools Child Care. Now, you might hear that say, oh, it's just paying for child care. August 5th to the 17th, well, that's when school normally would be in session. So that's where your taxpayer dollars, you know, school is guaranteed to be free. It says it in the state constitution of Arizona. And it's not just child care that they're offering. You know, we started digging into this. There's a reason why you'd want your student if you felt comfortable with COVID. There's a reason why, not just because you needed to be back on your normal schedule, but also because the learning opportunity is different. This is not just child care. This is school. Listen to what they're doing. So starting on August 5th, you could go 2 days a week, 5 days a week, 3 days a week. I mean, it's up to you. And you pay per, if you're going per week, so it's $160 per week, $105 if you go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, $70 if you go Tuesday, Thursday. but it's at nine different schools. Ashland Ranch, if you live out there, Canyon Rim, Carroll Ray, Findlay Farms, Mesquite L, Playa Del Rey, Sonoma Ranch, Spectrum, and Superstition Springs. So it starts on the same day that students would have started public school. And its hours are 6:30 to 6 p.m. Now, what they've done there is they've included the time period that parents do have to pay extra for their students to go to school earlier and stay later. What they're not offering is an opportunity to just have the normal school day be offered, which is 8:30 to 2:30 most days of the week. I think each of them, they have like a Wednesday or Thursday that has a little bit shorter of a day. But that time period is not offered for free. And look at what they're going to be doing in class. And I say in class because that's what they call it. The class size and student grouping. This is from their website of Gilbert Public Schools. There'll be 10 students assigned to each classroom. And you can even request what students or family members or friends you want to be in that classroom. There's going to be a curriculum. Does that sound like childcare to you? There's a curriculum. Daily activities include active games, arts and crafts. Because remember, we're talking about elementary school here. Gaming, along with structured times for online coursework completion and support. All of that you won't be getting if you are still a taxpayer, paying, which we all are, paying for public schools, with a student in Gilbert Public Schools that are doing this. You'll be getting that online ability to learn, but you know what you won't be getting? Arts and crafts, active games, along with structured times, so that structure that's so important for kids, and actual assistance with the completion of coursework, and you actually get support. You actually select one of three schedules and maintain the schedule. You get billed monthly. I mean, this is absurd, and again, this would be the same time the normal school year starts, yet they're saying if you want your kids to be able to be back in the classroom and get that assistance and make it feel like life is a little bit more back to normal and get your life back on schedule, you got to pay us up to $160 a week in Gilbert per student. So if you got a couple of students in K through 8th, I mean, that's a lot of money. And we got Harry Hutchinson on joining us right now. I mean, Harry, the economics of this, there's reports out, you know, these teachers' unions. So in Gilbert, they're trying to be creative. I think they just went way over the line. That's why we're taking action first with not even giving parents an option to go for free, to drop their kids off for free during the normal school hours. And then, of course, they'd be willing to pay if they needed the extended hours and whatever that would usually have cost last year. But now we have reports of teachers' unions in places across the country saying, not only do we not want to go back to school because we don't think it's safe, we don't want to be doing virtual teaching because we don't want to spend too much time in front of a computer screen. Harry?
Absolutely. So one of the key issues, which is highlighted by Arizona's absurd program, essentially charging students for education, but then claiming that educational work constitutes childcare. In addition to that, we should note that as the nation heads back toward its back-to-school season, public teachers' unions and many teachers are wary of returning, despite the fact that public school children in other parts of the world have generally returned to the school safely. And that may, in fact, be okay if indeed public schools are willing to provide alternative sources of education to school kids. But here is where it gets really absurd. Public school teachers, particularly those who are in the American Federation of Teachers Unions, they not only oppose returning to class, but equally clear, they are wary of engaging in online instruction as well. So in essence, we have public school teachers who wish to get paid while depriving students of an education. And keep in mind, students have a constitutional right in most states to a free public education. So this whole approach by public school teachers and teachers' unions makes no rational sense. And the Arizona program, and a similar program in California, highlight the absurdity of what we are doing to school-age kids and to their parents.
In the letter that the school district, Harry, will be receiving and the superintendent will be receiving today from the ACLJ, because you can do it via email and, of course, FedEx as well, you know, we say that on behalf of our clients, the ACLJ urges the Gilbert Public Schools to provide GPS childcare classroom school facilities access to the children from August 5th, 2020 to whenever on-campus learning resumes free of charge. If GPS insists that a fee will nevertheless be charged, the ACLJ urges that GPS reduce the fee to reflect only the classroom access before and after normal school hours, because that would be traditionally how they had operated. In the event GPS declines to provide classroom access on school premises free of charge, please provide an explanation as to your statutory basis relied upon by the Gilbert Public Schools to charge a fee for classroom access on school premises during normal school hours, and a justification for any decision declining to waive a fee. And because of the urgent nature of this matter, we've asked that they respond by Monday, August 3rd. Monday, that's this Monday. And of course, when you send these letters out, it's signed by me, but we've also got on there an Arizona attorney letting that school district know this is not just a letter of recommendation, Harry. This is a letter saying we want to hear your explanation. We want to see what your arguments are, because we may very well have to. We hope they make the right decision, Harry, and this can be solved easily. But we reserve that right always to take them to court.
Absolutely. And so your letter is spot on. And so the quintessential question is, what is the school district's explanation for charging parents for educational access? This move by the Gilbert Public School System directly contravenes Arizona constitutional precedent. You have cited at least three constitutional cases in Arizona establishing the parents' right and the children's right to a free education.
Folks, we come back. Harry will keep joining us, too, and talk about the bigger aspect of this. I mean, you've got, you know, places like 538 saying this is the end of the working mom, you know, the way the schools are operated this way. Support our work. This is the final day of our matching challenge. We're taking action now. ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. That's ACLJ.org. We need your financial support.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So, folks, on this final day of our matching challenge, so it's such an important month for the ACLJ in July, because every donation that comes in at aclj.org that you make is effectively doubled. You know, you've heard me say this before. I don't want to keep repeating it and bore you with it. But again, what it means to have a matching challenge, and you might see this sometimes from like political campaigns, but ours is even more simple. See, we have a group of donors that agree in advance that they will match each donation that comes in through the month of July. So that's every donation that comes in through the month of July. Doesn't matter if it's a $5 donation or a $10 or $20 or $40 or $50. So that means if you make your $5 donation online right now at aclj.org, that donor is going to match that. So it's really like a $10 donation, because that donor who said, "I'll agree to match," is not donating unless there's something to match. So if you make your $20 donation, they match it. And so you're charged $20, your tax-deductible donation, online, safe and secure at aclj.org. This is the final day to do it. And again, you're charged $20, but it's like $40. If you get $50, that's like $100. I mean, $500 bucks if you were going to make a bigger donation today, if you're thinking about doing that, because of all these cases that we've got going on. That actually, all you're charged is $500. You get that tax-deductible donation. But that really, for the ACLJ, just became $1,000. I don't think I've ever gone up that high, but I know there's folks out there who are those who are in good financial positions. Those of you who are not, by the way, do not spend your money right now on these donations. If you are facing tough economic times because of COVID, we're not asking you to donate. We're talking to folks who have the resources and the ability to make these donations, because it's a good time for them to do it, because they're doubling the impact of their donation at aclj.org. And just think about it. It was July 12th. Okay. So what, 19 days ago that I first appeared on Fox News with Steve Hilton on The Next Revolution. And I appeared the next week as well. So on the 19th. And then this past weekend, he just did an update on how many cases or contacts had come in across and showed the map across the country. Maybe we could put the map up for people. We're in 46 states right now in D.C., and the number is growing. Now we're over 1,400 plus parents who have contacted us at aclj.org/help. But I just want to encourage you to understand, I mean, we are working. That was the first time. That was the first map. Then it expanded. So we've gone from that to 46 states. We can put that map up in a second too. That's map number one. That was like the first, the second time I was on Steve's show in just 1 week, how many contacts we received. And then on this past weekend, it was up to 46 states plus DC. Do we have that ready to go, guys? Not yet. Okay. But I want to show it to people. But let me go to Harry, because Harry, now we're taking action. And this Arizona matter is the first one we're taking action on, because it's so timely. It involves something that needs to be resolved quickly for the clients we represent. We're going first to the school superintendent, Dr. Shane McCord. We hope always, Harry, in these situations, that the school board understands our reasoning, that these parents are happy to pay for the extra care, like if it's early care or later care. But if they just want that normal school experience for their child, and we now see that's what they're doing. It might be a virtual teacher, but they got activities and games and people in there helping them complete the virtual learning, something they're not going to get at home, or their parents would definitely have to be bringing in people to do, which these are families, again, who can't do that. And they need to be able to send their kid, if it's open, which it is, to public school. They can't just change their name and turn themselves into something else, like a private school.
Absolutely. So, Jordan, you have framed the issue extremely well. Here, the Gilbert Public School District, contrary to Arizona Supreme Court precedent in 1933, 1973, and 1996, plans to charge parents for their children's access to their constitutionally protected right to a free public basic education. In our considered view, it appears beyond question that the Gilbert Public School District has announced its intention to violate the law and to violate the state constitutional rights of school-age children. And as a consequence, the ACLJ has taken action in the form of a letter while reserving our right to initiate litigation on behalf of aggrieved parents. In essence, the Gilbert Public School District wants to have it both ways, to provide schooling through online learning at a public school facility, but then to charge parents for the privilege of access. This approach is exactly backwards. If the schools can open safely, then it strikes me that they should provide the educational experience for the kids free of charge, whether it's online or in person. Here, they want to have it both ways. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I want to read this part from our letter to the Gilbert Public School System. Now, this is from Gilbert Public School's own website. So they talk about their Global Academy. That's the full-time online program they're offering to students. There's issues with a lot of those, by the way, folks, because of tech issues. Do you have the right technology at home to actually be able to handle this kind of bandwidth? What, you know, we're talking about elementary school students while looking at cameras and learning. So being able to go to a classroom and getting assistance with that kind of learning is a big difference, but they're charging for it. Public schools aren't supposed to do that. And so this is what they say: for students that select flex or in-person on campus for their return to school, Learning Model School will begin August 5th online, and on August 17th, they hope these students will transition back to our campuses and their chosen learning model, or they're going to keep doing it the way they think they can keep doing it. During the 8 days of online learning, students will be working with their classroom teachers and classmates. Online learning will be interactive and led by their GPS teacher. It will not be the same as remote learning delivered at the end of the last school year. So they're saying they tried to improve on the online at-home learning. I mean, that's why, Harry, I think what they did here, for folks out there, I don't have time right now, you know, what they did here wasn't bad in the sense that they've upped their online learning. They're providing this in-person environment that helps your students through the online learning. The problem is that they're charging you for the classroom environment. That's the legal problem. And that's why we're asking them in the letter, tell us how you're basing your authority to do this. Dad, this is the time for people to support the work of the ACLJ.
Well, it sure is. We've been talking about the situation with the schools and the 1,400 families we're helping. We mentioned earlier this week we've been in court. We got a great decision in a FOIA case, getting down to the nitty-gritty on the deep state. We now are looking at potentially filing a brief in the Flynn case at the Court of Appeals. Your support for the ACLJ today, the last day of our matching challenge campaign, is critical. You go to ACLJ.org, and any amount you donate, we get a matching gift form. What that means is if you donate $20, we get $40. $40 is $80. $80 is $160. Some have given $1,000 if they're able, and it's $2,000. So I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. We've got our lawyers are handling right now in the school cases alone, 1,400 files. ACLJ.org. To stand with these families.
Go to ACLJ.org and donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
You know, Dad, we've been taking callers, and we had Harry Hutchinson on as well, talking about just how absurd it is that you've got a school district in Arizona that is offering virtual school on campus, but they're not calling it the same name. Now, it's at the same public school for the same students. And in some of those, they are going to be bringing the teachers into the classroom virtually, but they're going to charge students, parents, $165 per kid a week. So if you've got a couple of kids in that elementary school, again, this can get very expensive very quickly. And, you know, for these parents, not only is it important for them to stay on schedule, they're not saying that, hey, it's at no extra cost if you want to do this during the normal school hours. But if you need the early morning care and evening care, you've got to pay those usual fees. They're saying, no, if you're going to bring your child to school, and they haven't even addressed the transportation issue yet, but if you're going to bring them to school for this virtual learning so they can at least learn in a classroom with their classmates, something a lot of these kids and socialization we know is so important, have been missing since March. So for 6 months, we're going to charge you on top of what you already pay and everybody in your community pays and everybody in the country pays taxes to keep these schools open and running.
You know, when you and Logan started talking about this project, we knew that it would require us to give individual representation to parents. And that's always a more laborious task because you have so many people to deal with. It's not one lawsuit with one person. Here you're dealing with literally hundreds, thousands of school districts and counties around the country. But we thought the one in Arizona would be a good first one to take legal action on because they're not opening the schools, but yet they are opening the schools to meet the needs of the parents. That's not a bad thing. It gives a safe place for the kids to go. What's ridiculous is these parents are struggling economically. A lot of them were two working family, you know, two parents working. They maybe not both been able to work during this pandemic with the job situation. And now you're going to charge them the equivalent of about $600 a month to go to the school that they're already paying for. Their taxpayer dollars pay for that school to operate. So if the school was in regular session, unless they were in an extra hours program, which you would pay for, you would not pay these extra fees. So why in the world, in the middle of a pandemic with economic hardship, would the county make the decision, we're going to open the schools to regular school hours, but we're going to charge the parents for sending their kids there? That's ridiculous.
Let me just read to everybody, I mean, what's going on. And this is just one of the schools that we put in our letter to the school superintendent, to the school board today. So it says, this is for the kindergarten through eighth grade, and it's the Gilbert Public Schools. Start date, August 5th, 2020, offered until all students are able to return in person. So, Dad, they're already thinking that August 14th, 15th deadline may be not when they actually return to normal school.
Right.
Locations, they go through the nine schools. Hours, 6:30 to 6 p.m. See, they're not giving the option for the normal school day. They're trying to, like, remove that option. There's a cost of full-time, part-time, kind of like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday. They talk about class size and student grouping. So how there's 10 students. You can even request friends and family members for the same classroom. Yep. It has a curriculum. This is not childcare. This is public school. It has a curriculum. Yeah. Daily activity, including games, arts, crafts, gaming, along with structured time for online coursework completion and support.
Yep.
And that to me is so key because that makes online learning a lot easier for younger, like the elementary age,
sure,
when they've got it at a structured way and people helping them through it. This is not childcare. This is public school opening and charging people $160 a week per kid to go to it.
No, I think this is exactly right. Look, I like the idea that they were creative in trying to keep the schools open for the kids. That's smart, and to do it safely.
Yeah.
But then to charge the parents is where the abuse is, and your American Center for Law and Justice, front and center, helping these parents, no charge for the legal services because of your support for the ACLJ. Last day of our July matching challenge campaign, folks. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Go to ACLJ.org right now and make that donation.
ACLJ.org. This is the final day for our matching challenge. Donate today, folks. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
You know, I want to take, we've been talking about the school issue. We are going to talk about the next segment as well, some of the pro-life issues the ACLJ has been working on, because there's been so much news going on with the school issues, the Flynn matter, and a whole host of issues. And I wanted to update you just about the ACLJ's pro-life work that we have ongoing in the next segment, and take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We do have a phone call, though, on Mike Flynn's case. So I want to take it because Donald's been holding on. Let's make sure Donald gets a copy of the next Red Wave as well. So Donald, after you ask your question, hang on the line so we can get you that book, get your information so we can get you that book. You're on the air with us.
Okay. My question is with this Flynn case, which has just gone on too long, and I think the original appeals court dropped the ball by not taking the case from him. So going into that, my question, can the Supreme Court take judicial action against Sullivan as to his judicial suitability, as well as to this larger appeals court, from hearing this case, when the Constitution clearly states what the judge's role is and the Supreme Court clearly stated earlier what the judge's role is?
Well, here's I think what's important. So now the Court of Appeals said he was wrong. Now it's an en banc panel. Can ultimately the Supreme Court get involved? Absolutely. Could there be some kind of appeal from en banc, or this is expedited en banc? I mean, this is happening, was August 31st, or so it's August 21st, maybe. I know, because we're looking at whether we can file an amicus brief, and there may be a potential where we have to actually request to file an amicus brief because it's an en banc panel on an expedited schedule. But we're planning to if we can. And then, like we said, if Judge Sullivan loses en banc, we think he will go to the Supreme Court. Now, can they step in right away? I don't think they have the ability to do that. The way judges are removed is two ways. They can recuse themselves. No one can force them to do it. Or they can be impeached. They go through the impeachment process. But he certainly, his actions could be overturned ultimately by the Supreme Court. I hope for Mike Flynn's case and for him personally, this doesn't take going all the way to the Supreme Court, but this en banc panel in D.C., which is now 5-5, is going to be much more liberal-leaning than the three-judge panel. I want to go to Ben Sisney, because, Ben, you have been working with Laura Hernandez and two of our senior attorneys at the ACLJ specifically on this matter in these public school districts in Arizona. And we're ready now. Today we know it's going out to the school superintendent in Gilbert. Tell people about like who we're representing here, because I see the names, and it'll be released on our website. It'll be public. But I notice it's all women. Are these all? They're all moms. Is there a reason why they happen to be, or are they just the ones in the family that decided to sign on? Or are they in situations where they're single parents or working moms? Kind of tell us the reason why.
Well, hi, Jordan. I'm not sure the exact reason why that it happens to be moms in this case. What I am sure about is that these moms are, they want to take action, and they're standing up and they're speaking out. They're asking for our help, and we're providing it. Basically, as we understand it, you know, from them and from the Gilbert Public Schools website and information they've put out, and you've addressed this a bit in the earlier parts of the program here, but Gilbert Public Schools are to begin August 5th. That's going to be online, and then they're shooting to begin, as we understand it, August 17, you know, the more traditional on-campus learning. But the parents, and you mentioned the contacts that have reached out to us for help that we represent, parents willing and able to pay extra can have their children present in a GPS, Gilbert Public Schools classroom, starting on August 5th, when the school year actually begins, to participate in, quote, online learning, and I'm quoting from the Gilbert Public Schools website, where, and I quote again, students will be working with their classroom teachers and classmates. And for our listeners, you heard that right. Schools that have been deemed unsafe for students and teachers to attend normal taxpayer-funded classes, access to school facilities funded by taxpayers, are somehow perfectly fine for what they're calling child care if you pay extra. But, Jordan, there's even more to it than that. This GPS child care program will occur in Gilbert Public Schools classrooms. It will have a curriculum. They will have online coursework completion and support. Whatever you call this, we think it sure sounds like school and education. The net result on our client, these parents, is the same. They must pay for their child to have classroom access on school premises during school hours. That's not fair, and like we explained in our letter, we think it violates the Arizona Constitution and even some statutory requirements. I
mean, this letter is not just a, hey, we think you're doing something wrong here. As you just pointed out, Ben, in the letter, we cite statute, the state constitution. We cite state statutes. We also cite court cases as well in Arizona that will apply to Arizona. So, I mean, this is substantive, and what we're saying is, if you're not going to go along with what we're asking, and just tell people quickly, what our clients are asking for, Ben, is basically, if I'm only going to be using what is the normal school hours, and those normal school hours were, I'll just give it to you, for GPS elementary schools were 8:10 to 2:55 p.m. on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and it was a little shorter on Wednesday, it was 8:10 to 1:55 p.m., that if I could drop my child off for just those periods, it should be at no cost. If there needs to be additional charges for me to do it earlier or later or both, that's understandable. Public schools do that around the country. And then I think Gilbert would have actually been doing something really cool here instead of something so egregious. And I hope they see that, Ben, because what we're asking them is to do just that. If open this opportunity up to every parent to decide if they want to at no extra cost, have their kid in the classroom setting, because the way it reads to me, Ben, is that this is not childcare. This is not daycare. This is assistance with virtual learning in the classroom. This is doing activities and learning. Stuff that parents, whether it's a stay-at-home mom or they're having to figure out childcare, when you're talking about elementary kids, that's a big benefit than just, we'll watch your kids run around and play for 8 hours.
That's right, Jordan. It sounds like education. It sounds like school. It sounds like exactly what the Arizona Supreme Court has said multiple times shall be, to quote from one of the opinions, shall be absolutely free. And that the full line there, instruction in high as well as in common, that's elementary schools, shall be absolutely free. I mean, that's pretty clear. And we appreciate, as you've mentioned, this district's effort to try to provide a solution. We all understand these are unusual times. They need to provide the solution absolutely free.
Yes. I mean, it's just like we've been saying with students who are having trouble with the virtual learning. Gilbert has said, you know, our virtual learning has gotten much better. We quote that in our letter than what they tried to do at the end of the last year when they were scrambling. Wonderful. I think that's wonderful. But it is interesting that they think that they can open their schools up, have the teachers come in virtually that way, but it says that the students will be getting support through that online learning. Through that virtual learning, that is a big advantage, Ben, and to charge for it at a public school, that is outrageous. Because it is, I will tell you, I mean, think about kindergartens, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, up until really like junior high. I mean, that's that extra support alone in getting through online learning is huge. That's basically like going back to school, and they're charging them for it.
That's exactly right. And again, I just take us right back to the Arizona Supreme Court opinions. Instruction shall be provided absolutely free. I mean, in a way, it's not complicated.
Not complicated. Now, here's what I want to know, Ben. We have set a deadline. Now, tell people this. So when they see the letter, which we'll post up online later today so people can read what we're looking at right now at aclj.org with a blog explaining this, it goes to the superintendent of schools for the Gilbert Public Schools. Does that superintendent oversee like the school board, or is that like someone who has even more power?
You know, all of these districts and in the various states are going to be set up in different ways, and the way the power is balanced and allocated, accountability, you know, to the people, whether.
Right.
With the elected positions and then who's sort of set in charge as the actual superintendent. But it was clear to us in this situation that the superintendent was the one to send this letter to. And then I'm sure that it will get circulated to any other board members that need to be a part of this decision responding to our letter.
Folks, I've been working with Ben. He has been working around the clock with Laura Hernandez. Been on the phone with Laura Hernandez while I've been doing this interview live. I'm bringing you, we know this is going out today. So we're taking action. We've got 1,400 plus of these kind of parents contacting the ACLJ. We do this all for free for them because of your financial support to the ACLJ. And this is the day to do it. It's the final day of our July matching challenge. You double the impact of your donation. Donate right now if you're financially able to. At aclj.org. We're fighting.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So the Jay Sekulow Band has got a concert tonight. Will, what time is that concert going to be for everybody so they can tune in?
8 p.m. Eastern Time.
8 p.m. Eastern Time on Ace. It's on the Jay Sekulow Facebook page. So you go to the Jay Sekulow, the official Facebook page. It has over 4 million followers, so it's easy to find on Facebook. And you will see the Jay Sekulow Band. You'll see me. You'll see the band. And I will say, even during COVID, what they want to do for you, in this final day of the matching challenge, because the match goes, you can be part of the matching challenge until midnight wherever you are. So it's like what your clock is when you make the donation. So if you're listening internationally, it's where you are, it goes. So we're very fair and honest about it. It's not just till Eastern time or Central time, but the concert, it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern time on the Jay Sekulow's official Facebook page. And the band, even during COVID, has figured out a way to come together, to not always come together, but with our production team put together two brand new live songs for you as well. I won't give them away right now, but I will tell you, you'll want to check this out. I know a lot of people, there's not a lot of places to go right now, not a lot to do. You probably have gone through a lot of Netflix, gone through a lot of Amazon and On Demand, and watched about maybe, after you take in the news of the day, shows like ours, it's like you need a little relief. This provides that. And we want to do that for you as a thank you, too, to all those supporters out there who are contributing, even amidst this pandemic. So check that out at 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight on Jay Sekulow's Facebook page. Easy to find. And two brand new songs from the Jay Sekulow Band. Let me take this caller on the Sullivan issue. Let me tell you, folks, we're going to get deeper and deeper into the Flynn issue on this en banc hearing next week on the broadcast as well. I mean, this is, it just happened yesterday. We filed it. We're taking this action in Arizona today, so I really wanted to focus on that. But we want to get deep because we're figuring out what action we have to take so that we can file an appeal. Because it's en banc and because it's expedited, we may have to make a request to file an appeal, which could be important because last time around, a lot of liberal groups did because they made the request. They said, yeah. So this time around, it's like you want to make the request maybe, even if it is a no, so that the other side isn't also being treated differently if they made the first request, if you get my drift. But let's go to Max in Texas on line 3. Max, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello. My question is, why does Judge Sullivan have standing to appeal? He's not a party to the case. He's the judge in the case. And a related question is this going to set a precedent for other judges to appeal cases in which the higher court has ruled against them?
Here I think is exactly on point for you, Max. It's Sidney Powell, Mike Flynn's attorney, Bite 33.
He cannot act as a prosecutor because only the Department of Justice can under Article 2 of the Constitution. So there are two constitutional provisions that preclude him from doing what he's trying to do, and the court seems to be indicating that it's going to give him that opportunity, despite the fact he has no constitutional authority to proceed.
So again, right there, I don't think many judges will ever act like Judge Sullivan. How did he have the authority? Well, because they brought, remember, it was Flynn's legal team, Sidney Powell, who filed that motion to the Court of Appeals. So by doing that, it made him a party because it put his actions into question so that he's then saying, well, then I want the full court to look at what the three-judge panel did. That's how that happened. But do I expect a lot of judges to do that? I don't think so, because I think most judges wouldn't be acting this crazy and wouldn't be acting outside the lines of the authority that's given to them under the both local rules of procedure and federal rules of procedure. Let me update you here now as well, because we've been talking about a lot of issues, but I know one near and dear to my heart and your heart, if you're an ACLJ supporter, is the pro-life issue and always fighting for the unborn. And I just wanted to update you on the ACLJ cases going on right now on life, on the sidewalk counseling issues. And you know about those cases. So those who just talk to women as they are entering abortion clinics in cities and Planned Parenthood and abortion facilities, trying to keep them away and shut them down. And we're not talking about screaming and shouting. We're talking about people who just say, hey, will you think about this? Would you talk to me for a minute? It's freedom of speech. So we've got that going on in Turco versus City of Inglewood right now because of a buffer zone they created in New Jersey. Broody versus City of Pittsburgh. That's before amicus brief we filed at the Supreme Court. We have a contact in Hawaii that we're working with right now. We've previously represented who's a sidewalk counselor, and a contact in Philadelphia who's a pro-life demonstrator who's concerned because the police officers are not doing anything about aggressive and even sometimes violent abortion clinic employees interfering with their rights. We have matters pending before the Office of Civil Rights of the Department of Health and Human Services, the University of Vermont Medical Center. That was that nurse who was forced to perform an abortion and lied to about performing that abortion. Karen Lightfoot's Betts out of Missouri, a formal complaint with HHS, Office of Civil Rights, on behalf of another nurse who was deceived. I mean, think about that. We're going on and on with these people. Medical professionals, they have a conscience protection right not to perform abortions, and yet they were deceived in participating in surgical abortion, and so we're working on that. Cynthia Isabel in Indiana, a professor who was denied a teaching position based on a pro-life blog post she reported. So we're awaiting from the Office of Civil Rights of the Department of Health and Human Services on that action. We've got conscience clause case issues in Planned Parenthood versus Azar, California versus Azar, out of Pennsylvania, Hawaii, Philadelphia, Ohio, other pro-life issues that are important. Planned Parenthood Federation of America versus the Center for Medical Progress. We represent Troy Newman of Operation Rescue in a challenge to undercover the investigation of those National Abortion Federation meetings. Remember those videos. We've got Baker versus Edwards at SCOTUS. We've got Dobbs versus Jackson, a women's health case out of Mississippi, filing a petition for cert on the state's 15-week abortion ban. We're also taking FOIA action at the state level on the pro-life issue. So this is important. So we've got a letter going out to the Illinois because of Illinois Executive Order 2020-10 between Governor Pritzker and Lieutenant Governor Stratton and the Illinois State Legislature and others. And it was made by the ACLJ on behalf of 137,000 members, the 39th who signed on, and 3,900 who reside in Illinois, who signed the petition to ban abortions during the pandemic, who object to the executive order. How have they responded? We will get to that next week. But again, we've got a lot of work going on in life at the ACLJ. Dad, this is the time for people to support the work of the ACLJ.
Well, it sure is. We've been talking about the situation with the schools and the 1,400 families we're helping. We mentioned earlier this week we've been in court. We got a great decision in a FOIA case, getting down to the nitty gritty on the deep state. We now are looking at potentially filing a brief in the Flynn case at the Court of Appeals. Your support for the ACLJ today, the last day of our matching challenge campaign, is critical. You go to ACLJ.org. And any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. And what that means is if you donate $20, we get 40. 40 is 80. 80 is 160. Some have given $1,000 if they're able, and it's $2,000. So I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. We've got our lawyers are handling right now in the school cases alone, 1,400 files. ACLJ.org to stand with these families.
Go to ACLJ.org and donate today to be part of the matching challenge.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.